Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael. How is everyone doing today? We have a song that we're getting ready to play for you right now.
You never know it. You never know. You never, 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 never know. No, 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 no. You never know.
DJ at Low.
You can be a faithful girl with
DJ at Low.
Donnie, how are you there? Shalom, shalom, are you there?
Shalom, shalom, I'm here. That's the extended version, ain't it?
Huh?
That's the extended version, ain't it?
Well, you know what? I'm having a good day today. I just wanted to throw a little something out there. I'm expecting this young man to call because I'm definitely going to get him to sing on the show today. And just playing around a little bit. Oh, and for those of you all who may have heard a conversation in the beginning of the show, please disregard. I was having a conversation with my sister, so we was playing around, messing around. No big deal. We're going to move on. Brother Donnie, tell me how your week's going, what we going to talk about.
So far, so good. It's been very good, you know. And, you know, as always, I'm on the Internet, and I get a lot of good information off the Internet. And, you know, especially talk, and they're giving
the
their...
All we heard was especially.
Huh?
I said all we heard was especially something.
Oh, what's wrong with y'all over there?
Oh, my God, it's got to be our phone, right? Okay.
No, I don't know what the problem is, man. You know, it could be mine, you know. You know, like they always playing with my phone. They cut me off last week for a whole day. You understand? I had no, you know, like when you called the last time on that day, I told you that I hadn't received no phone calls all day. And then when I called them, they said the phone wasn't going to be on until 3:30. They was having problems in my area. So I had no computer service or nothing. So I'm at their mercy.
Oh, wow. So tell me what you think about what's going on in Israel. I mean, it's some serious stuff jumping off. There's been a lot of people killed. It's a lot of things happening over there. I think they had a ceasefire, but they said so far 1,000 Palestinians had been killed so far. And, you know, when I researched the whole Palestinian issue and the whole issue with the land, you know, you came to realize that, you know, the Palestinians actually had the land before Israel had the land. And even though they were living on the land, you know, from what I understand, after the Ottoman Empire was overthrown, England owned that land, and then England turned the land over to the United Nations. And then the United Nations, in turn, gave the land to Israel, and Israel became a nation state in 1948. So I think the whole conflict, I don't know if the conflict is really about land or because right now they feel like it's their land, but they're occupying it because Israel has that nation state there. So, you know, I was just trying to find out what the whole conflict was between the Palestinians and everything.
Well, you know what, I'm getting pretty much the same understanding that you have, but it's a little bit more deeper than that. You understand? You know, first of all, those people that are running Israel, we all know that those are not the people that's supposed to be running that land. You understand?
Right.
And the Palestinians know that, but that's not the issue. The issue is that the Jews is pushing them people further and further into the sea. You understand? The Palestinians used to run all that area over there until 1948. Then the Jews came over there claiming the land to be theirs, given to them scriptorial, which is a lie. And they're trying to hold on until they really figure out what they're going to do, because half of those people, Israelis, you understand, is trying to get out of there, and the other half, those hardliners, want to keep the land. So they want to try to play both ends against the middle, you understand? And see, what they're doing here now, they're trying to stop the Palestinians out. They run everything over there, you understand? The water, the lights, everything, they run over there, you understand? So the Palestinians got fed up, man. They made an agreement during the last ceasefire, not the ceasefire that they got, not the, the little problems that they're having right now, the war that they made an agreement to give the peoples their let the Palestinians be under their own power, you understand, and be able to walk back and forth across the borders and et cetera, you understand. But they but the Israelis have kept them from doing that. They didn't unleash anybody else on that, you know, that they had held the Palestinians in captivity. They were supposed to let them boys go. They didn't do it. They waited a couple of years, and the Israelis are still holding control over all of them folks. See what they what the Israelis do is they bait them into taking an action, knowing that them Palestinians don't have no weapons.
That's true.
They call it those missiles. They ain't hitting nothing. You understand? When they unleash a bunch of them, but they're not reaching any kind of establishment or killing off anybody. The only time that they lost any people is when they put them ground folks peoples in there. You know, they're good. The Israelis are good at bombing people. You understand? And shooting tanks. You understand? But them ground folks in there, they put their ground folks in at risk. So, you know, I see that the Israeli, them guys is lousy, just the coolest people on the face of the earth, you understand? And if look at the history of all of those Europeans. Just look at them, you understand? The history, every place that they went, they started a mess, and if you don't agree with them, they'll kill you. So you got to look at that factor.
Wow. Well, I mean, you know, when you think about it, I mean, you know, when you really research the Ashkenazis and the whole history of the Ashkenazi Jews, you know, they were ran out of several countries for trying to diversify the country. I think the whole issue is to diversify the countries to, you know, in order to weaken the people. And then, you know, because they're the only group, I mean, and that's in every city, they're the only group in every city that's really allowed to be segregated in every issue. I mean, you know, when you, especially here, Cincinnati is a real strong base for the German Jew. That's the name of this city is really Zincinnati. And we have a very large population of German Jews here that run this city. I mean, when you really honest, they run this city. And when I tell you they run it, they run this city. So, you know, when you understand that, you know, this population of people had to be in existence, you have to learn. I think our issue is from being a Hebrew Israelite standpoint, we have to learn how to work around it but work within it at the same time. I mean, because, you know, when I tell you that they run it, they run it. I mean, did you get those emails that I sent you this weekend? Because of research on the black people that work, that are movie stars in Hollywood, that are actually Jews by their mothers or their fathers are actually Ashkenazi Jews or Sephardic Jews, and they look like black people. They look
that
black.
That is correct.
And it's like, whoa, I mean, this thing is really a whole lot deeper than we think it is, you know, and it's just not
correct.
So much realizing that you're Hebrew Israelite, but I think the whole issue is understanding the dynamics of it all, because when you break down the nationalities in Genesis chapter 10 from the Table of Nations, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
And you begin to break down the line of Japheth, and you begin to break down the line of Ham, and then when you go to Shem, when you understand the different components and the family members that are in the lineage of Shem alone, I mean, those are black people. And you have to understand that, you know, because, and I have this saying that I've always said, all of our skin folk are not our kinfolk. And we've got to learn how to work around them, but maneuver around them, but work within them. And that's something that the Most High has to give us. So, you know, but I agree, you know, it's just that when you look at the land, it's a sad case to see the land going through what it's going through, but it has to. It has to experience this, you know, and I just think it's a sad situation right now for all of the things that are going on. And I'd like to make an announcement. If you would like to join our conversation, because we're just talking right now, we're waiting on our guests to come on the line, please feel free to push 1. We believe in free thinkers. We believe in a free voice. If you have anything you want to say, please don't hesitate to let us know. We want you to push one and join our conversation. If you're on the chat line and you'd like to become a part of the conversation, just type in any question that you may have, and we will be happy to bring it to the panel and bring it to the board. Brother Donial, you can take it from here if you like.
That, see, once you understand the whole dynamics of what really is going on, it will give you a different perspective. You understand? Right now, we just think that we Israelites and we're going back home and the land is ours. But it's much, much deeper than that. You understand? See, one thing that I was thinking and Almighty revealed to me is that we have to be the righteous people of the earth. Because once this place lose all of its moral values and they start tearing up stuff and the things is going to be, there is not going to be any kind of law. We have to be in place to have that law factor. You understand? The rules and regulations that will gain us, you understand, favor from the Almighty. You understand? So we got to try to keep ourselves informed as to what's going on and try to move, you understand, in a manner so that we could be put in, so once, because those European Jews are going to be out of there in a little while. And the Palestinians is going to be so fragmented, they ain't going to be able to do nothing. You understand? So we have to bring the common sense factor in there. You understand? And I think that the Creator, we're moving in the right direction here. You understand what I'm saying? We're trying to get together a government structure, because that has to be in place so that when our people start coming back there, they won't be all helter-skelter and won't know what to do. Excuse me. And they cannot bring none of that mess that they have from this society. We have to remember the past, the past histories of things in the past. You understand? Lot's wife, when they brought him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you understand? She had misgivings, and she turned around, and the Almighty turned her to salt. Well, that was it's a little bit more deeper than that. Is that the fact that she wanted to bring along some of those things, or it might have been not so bad in her. I mean, the habit might not have been so bad, but we gotta forget all of these things that we had learned in this society. You understand? Mm-hmm. This is not going to be a society where we can bring that Cadillac. And we got to leave all of these things that we acquired.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
Understand? Because this is not going to work. I understand, man. I'm living. I can't say that I'm living the American dream, but I'm doing all right. I'm satisfied. I'm pretty much. But man, I know that this is going to fail. This got to come down. The Almighty said it was going to be destroyed. Because what we do is we worship things now.
That's true. That
all
is
that,
true.
That screen TV, you understand, and all of that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? It feels good to have all of that stuff, but that's not real. It's fantasy, whether we think so or not, and it's real deep. You understand? The object of the scripture, it says over and over again, we cannot take on.
Your phone keeps fading in and out. I don't know if it's because you're in a certain position in your house, but your phone keeps fading in and out. And we hear most of your conversation, but a lot of it is faded. So you may want to move into another position in your house.
Okay, I'll try another spot. Okay.
Yeah, try and see if it's another. You can move into another position where you'll be able to get it. But I mean, I agree with you 100%. And the one thing that the Most High taught me. And coming out of the church and coming into, because, you know, I've always known that I was from the royal house of King David when I was in church. So that wasn't a new revelation that came to me. But I didn't put the concept together of the Hebrew Israelite. It just, for some reason, it just didn't connect until I began to study and understand. I knew it was Israel. And I knew that the lineage was the king over Israel, but the 12 tribes and understanding Jacob's name being changed to Israel and all of the 12 tribes and the sons and the four baby mamas and the sons that were set, divided up against those four women, you know, when he really began to break that down, the understanding became clear. And I think that for us, coming into the knowledge of who we are and experiencing this newfound ethnicity, it takes a lot to be able to process it all and then adopt the culture. Because when you come here and you realize that the things that have been done to us psychologically as a people has been terrible. I mean, you know, I was out the other day and I seen this young man. He was walking through a parking lot, and this young man's pants was so far down over his buttocks that the only thing that he was covering was his thighs, and the crouch right before you see his private area. And it just stunned me. It just took me a minute, because usually I say something, but I just looked at it and I just shook my head, and it kind of broke my heart, because I'm thinking, what in the world has been done to us psychologically, that this young man would leave the house, and I mean, his whole behind was showing in the back, you know, and the belt buckle and the shorts was up underneath the hump of his behind, and I'm looking like, what happened to us as a people that we have allowed ourselves to be programmed to the point where we express ourselves the way that we do, and then when you begin to really look at the powers that be. And when the Most High began to explain to me that a lot of people don't realize that Lucifer is the god of this world. And you know, they don't really understand what that means. He is the god of this world. And when you understand that they spend billions and billions of dollars, like the young man said on the show a couple of weeks ago, in media campaigns and advertising and television, so that they have an opportunity to program our thinking. You know what I'm saying? That they've gone to extreme circumstances to get us to the point where we don't pay attention. And I, you know, when you look at that, and then you understand how all of this came to be, the history of the Akhenazi. The history of how they were thrown out of every country because they were trying to come in and conquer. The whole history of Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati and how it was orchestrated and all of the things that went on and how they tried to take over America and the things that went on and Jekyll Island and all of the stuff that happened behind everybody's back. That it lets you know that, like you said, this is some serious stuff, and you have to really, 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 really begin to pay attention, and we need to really begin to pray, because you can't stop it.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Oh, I just wanted to make sure. We don't have no control. We have control over what we do. Magical slavery going on here now. They stopped chained, whipped, beating, and maiming and murdering us to a large degree. Now we have a mental block. You understand? We suffer from post-traumatic slave syndrome. You understand? That's wherein we can't, you know, everything that the Europeans have done to us, you understand, is what we looking at. You understand? Remember the Willie Lynch letters. You understand? They said that you cut off one of them hands, cut off somebody's hand in front of a bunch of those slaves, and you won't have no problem on nobody else.
Sure
won't. Sure won't. You know, what we need to do, you understand, is start praying and start doing. Start praying and start doing. You understand? You can't pray and expect things just to happen. You have to put things in practice. You have to put things. See, I say this all the time.
You're breaking up again. We can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Ladies and gentlemen, he's having technical difficulties with his phone. Please give him a chance to get back on the line. In the meantime, I mean, I totally agree with him. It takes more than prayer. It takes action. Are you there, Brother Donnie?
I'm still here. Let me see if I can change phones and maybe that'll help.
My biggest issue is, some of us have actually lived the American dream. We've had the opportunity to live the American dream. We have accomplished things. We've accomplished education. And that's why I don't teach against education. I tell everyone, as long as we're here in this Babylonian system, you have to learn the Babylonian ways of how they want you to do things. And the education is a method of you learning the ways that of how they want you to do it so that you can be able to survive in corporate America and be able to work in the different jobs that you want to have. The only problem I have with it today is we've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And me, myself, I have almost $80,000 in student loans, and the job market is not out there where our young people are getting out of college will be able to sustain themselves to the point where they can have a life and be able to cover the cost of all of the things that they have. Brother Donnie, are you still there?
Can you hear me now?
We want you to come back in. You might have to hang up and call back in. We can't hear anything you're saying. Those are the issues that we fight with, is that as long as we're here, make it comfortable for us to be here. But we know that the system is breaking down to the point where, the job market is scarce. And if you have one, hold on to it. But we have to come to the realization that we have to be self-sustaining. And the reason why I say that is because we had a jazz festival here last year in Cincinnati, Ohio, and this is something that we do every year. The black people of Cincinnati throw a jazz festival. I won't even say it's the black people. It's an organization here that has allowed the jazz festival to be here. These black people here in this city spent $19 million in 3 days. $19 million in 3 days to go watch somebody shake across a stage. So it's not like the disposable dollars are not there. We have just got to do something to grab the minds of our people so that we can get them to understand that we need to start paying attention to where our dollars go. And I'm going to see if I can get him back on the line. Brother Donnie, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Now. Yes, I hear you now. But I was just talking about, remember when I told you that they spent $19 million here in a three-day weekend for the jazz festival, and all of the vendors, all of the vendors that were not African-American, that serviced the people that was in the downtown area, they were ecstatic. They were so happy. Oh, my goodness. They were talking about we need to do this every year. They'll let them come in from whatever city they come in from. They spent $19 million in 3 days.
Yeah. Well, we have to, it's one thing that I'm finding out here, you understand, we have to pick what we're going to do. We got to find, see, a long time ago they told me, when I came into this way of understanding, they told me that we have to be in crisis mode before we do anything about ourselves. Am I being heard? Huh?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, what I'm saying, but like I said, when you
say that we're gonna have to be in crisis mode. That's why I say the ones that know themselves and that have the willingness to do something. See, we got to set up things so that when them kids take these college programs, that we can give them a job. We can put them into something. You understand? Now, that's why I always say, you understand, it don't take a lot of us. It takes just one or two, a few of us, man, that's going to band together, and we're going to make something happen so that we can put these kids to work once they take these college programs. The only problem I have with them, with school, is that they take those skills to back into this society, and we build up this society, and like it is now, you understand, we are not able to get no jobs, you understand, no matter what your education is.
Guess what? My daughter, I'm going to give you an example. My daughter went to school to be a nurse. She graduated from nursing school. So you know she has not found a job, and it has been almost, it hasn't been a whole year, but almost a year because they say you don't have the experience. She said, well, that's why I went to school, was to get the experience. Well, you have to have at least 6 months experience before we can give you a job. She said, but that's why I went to school, to get the experience to be able to get the job. Now, how does one trade off on the other? So, you know what I told her? I said, baby, don't worry about it. We're going to open up your own company. You're going to get Medicaid qualified, and then you can have your own clients, and then you can bypass working to make them rich, because as long as you work for somebody else, you're never going to acquire the funds that you think you're going to have, because the whole objective into hiring you is so that you can help them to increase their revenue. So in order for you to do something, that's why we have started the entrepreneurship program with the Nation of Yehuda, because we have people that are qualified in every area of business. If you have a business idea, you're interested in starting your own business, even if we trade among ourselves on this radio show and keep the dollars generating among ourselves, this is what we have to do in order to survive, because that's the only way you're going to make it. Anything else, you're going to be out there with everybody else, and the unemployment rate is off the chain.
Yeah, and you know what? Those that have that skill going to be working at McDonald's. They tell
that's
you,
true.
You know, see, they tell you that you only way, you know, they'll preach to you the fact that you only way you're going to get a good job is that you go to college. You go to college, they raise the bar. You understand what I'm saying? So it don't make no difference if you get a college education, you're going to be working at McDonald's. And guess who you're going to be working next to? One of them Europeans, because they ain't got no job for them neither.
That's right. And guess what she said? She said, now I understand how some people go to selling drugs. I said, nope, that's not the answer. She said, but I understand it. She said, because you still got to eat. She said, I don't condone it, but when you're doing what you got to do, you still got to eat. She said, I mean, for real, if I hadn't had been in the situation that I was in, I have a daughter I have to take care of. And, you know, those are the reasons why so many of our young men are out here on the street corners, because guess what? They're making $1,000 a day, and then they want to pay them $8 an hour. And it's like, no. You know, we've got to start doing something to generate capital. Somebody said that I was money-driven and money-hungry and all that. No, I want to make sure our people have what they need so we can survive. Because the only way to do that is to trade dollars among our – you know, a lot of people don't even know the Federal Reserve is not federal.
That is correct. Oh, I got some information on that.
You know,
I'm telling you.
About the Federal Reserve, Brother Donia, they didn't even know that the Federal Reserve wasn't federal. And that, like I told them, I said, the bankers loan the money to the United States of America. And they asked one question, what is your collateral? And the United States
said, you know who the collateral is?
And then guess what they say? They say, okay, well, your population of people is going to be your collateral. The way we collect our collateral for the money we gave you, we're going to tax your people. And then we're going to set up the IRS to be the collection agency to make sure you pay us that money. A whole lot of people don't know how this game is done.
That is correct. And guess what? The Reserve, the Rothschild folk.
I know.
And you know who's a member of the Rothschild folk? You understand? What's that guy's name that wants to put in the chip? What's his name? Rockefeller.
Yeah,
Rockefeller is the richest. Rockefeller is the richest person in America today. Control of all the oil companies. I mean, he got at least three of the oil companies, man, that he signs off on. You understand that he get money from them. They make at least $19 a day in just the kickbacks that they get off of the royalties. Royalties.
Mm-hmm.
$19 million a day in royalties. What they spent or what they're getting back or a paycheck.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, when you, I heard Brian McKnight and his sons and sing the national anthem, and it's talking about the land of the free and the home of the brave. We free to participate in commerce.
That's all. That's all.
They don't give, you know. And like I said, some of us have thought we have attained the American dream, and we had the finances, and we had the money, we had the houses, we had all of those things. But the moment you start talking about Hebrew Israelism and gathering people as a nation, you better roll up your sleeves, because all hell is going to break loose. All hell is going to break loose. So, I mean, you know, those are the things that we have to keep our eyes on. You know, when you see the Holy Land going into the situation that they're going in, you understand it's all one gigantic story that they have put together. You know, when you really begin to understand the whole purpose and how things are set up, that's what this show is all about, to educate you all as to what's going on. We could be on, if we decided to debate about scriptures, we'd have about 50 people on this show every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do. That's what we waste our time on, is debating about scriptures and who believes what. And whether or not the Sabbath starts Friday night or Saturday when sun come up. Or whether or not we should wear tassels. Or whether or not women should wrap their hair. I mean, all of this stuff is a diversion. It's a distraction. And you wonder, and this is just me and not anybody else, but you wonder if these people are the real Israelites, because they're wasting a lot of time.
That is correct. You are absolutely right. And if we don't get it together, guess what? We might as well put our heads between our legs and kiss our butt goodbye, because they got a new slave now, and he's called undocumented.
Yep, you're right about that. Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we don't do nothing, man, we might as well kiss our cardio goodbye.
That's true. You know what? And that's how we do the show. We have someone that pushed one. Let me get them on the line so they can join in on the conversation. Area code 336. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you guys doing today?
We're good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed.
Hallelujah.
To hear. I'm very blessed to hear men and women like you guys speaking exactly what is needed to be spoken. And I'm glad to be able to be a part of what you're doing and to hear what is needed to be said. So you're absolutely right. And it's something has totally, truly happened to us in a way. You know how, like, if an individual person went through a traumatic event, and sometimes that traumatic situation leave that person scarred, sometimes scarred for life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also happened to us, a people that are the seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to us. We went through a traumatic event, traumatic situation, and the children that came out of that generation that passed away, our ancestors that were slaves, we were so traumatized in such a way that it some kind of how changed us almost like for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. We come out of a people who have been enslaved not only 400 years ago, but even in the book.
That is correct.
We are that people. We are that people. And I thank God that you guys know that we are that people. But I'm saying that my generation, we, the children, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of our ancestors, what are we doing? Why are we not listening to elders who hold the scrolls of God, who hold the oracle of the Most High? Why are we killing each other? Chicago, from Atlanta to D.C. to Louisiana, all over the world. I'm just saying, though, we are a blessed people. We are a very blessed people. And if we could just slow our little adolescent, little teenage life down just long enough to pay respect to our elders, knowing that they told They tote the Ark of Covenant. And we don't even want to listen. We want to be gangbangers. We want to be drug dealers. We want to be drug addicts. We want to be pimps. We want to be everything else that was shown to us before we came here. We want to fit in those shoes. We don't even want to be the children of Israel. And yet that's what we are. That's exactly what we are. See, many people don't understand this. If you are truly he that is of the bloodline and of the descendants of the true children of Israel, your bloodline and your connection with Jesus Christ is there. Is there. He's not a man that was an allegory or a man that was an illusion or an imagination. He was a real pure blood, my blood, blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh, flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood. He was a real man that came out of our people who was being oppressed even in that day, in the days of Rome. And that's what we have in America. It's all it is. It's Rome again, turning America into a land of Egypt for the children of Israel so that they can continue to be in bondage. But God is calling us out from among the people and calling us to be a people, his people, his people, his people, y'all. Our bloodline to Jesus Christ is not a lie. I've traveled the world, and in the world I have seen the destruction and the errors of the wicked. But the righteous, you guys, you hold the inheritance and the promise. You hold the promises. And I'm not talking dumb. This is what I do want to tell you guys, and I'm not going to hold you long. I love you, and I love you, and I love you. And the word has come for you. Be
Hallelujah.
Free today.
Hallelujah. We thank you so
Be
much.
Be free today.
And we have to ask the question, how old are you, young man?
His body.
Are you there? Hello?
That I am in. Is, yes, ma'am.
I can't
this
hear you.
This body that I am. This body that I am in today.
His phone may have gone out a little bit, but we appreciate the response that he gave, and it is absolutely true. We are the people of the book, and, you know, like I said earlier, there is a special campaign against us, and this is some information that I wanted to share with you today because we don't really realize there's an organization called the Nielsen Group. And the Nielsen Group does a study on African-American people, and I think they do it every year. They study the household income. They study the population demographics. They study the unemployment rate. They study the gender rate and the things that are going on as far as the gender. They even study the television shows that black people look at. It's called the Nielsen Company. And they give this report. They gave it in 2003. And it said in 2002, African-American households increased by 20%, and their aggregated income had increased by 45%. So in 2000, they had the number of African-American households was $12 million. I mean, when you understand, and in 2013, the income in the African-American household is $14 million. That's how much money that most of us acquire within a certain lifetime in certain areas of the United States. They do a study on us to let us how much money we spend in, what kind of television programs we watch in, what kind of music we listen to, what kind of advertisements catch our eye. These people study us so that they can make sure that they take our income away from us. We have got to start paying attention to everything we do. We are the ones who have built this place, and we don't even realize it. Brother Donnie, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank the brother from coming on and speaking. He has for that.
Yeah,
we need to hear more from him. Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm right here.
Okay.
I was trying to get him to come back on. I couldn't get him back on, but his phone
but
was
But I hope he's still listening.
I
want him to understand that, you understand, we're getting ready to start this think tank. You understand what I'm saying? Here in Atlanta, Georgia. And we need that kind of passion. You understand?
Yes.
bring a proposal to the table so that we can find out, man, you know, because a lot of people might have the same proposal or version of the same proposal, and if they put these things together, you understand, we might be able to put together a strategy to get us out of this mess that we in, or so that we don't feel so trapped. You understand? What we now here are, we in a trap mode. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have no plan for anything. You understand? We need a plan for us. You understand? We need to take destiny and do something with it instead of depending on them other folks. If we leave it up to them other folks, man, we're going to be wiped out because their plan is to deplete the nation, you understand, by marrying into this other nation, create homosexuality, you understand what I'm saying, put our brothers and sisters in the penitentiary.
True. We can barely hear you again. You kind of blocked out on us a little bit. I can't
say
hear
that again.
I can hear you now, but you're blocking in and out.
Oh my goodness! I don't know what's wrong with my phones. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You understand?
That's
but we
all right.
Got them. We got. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
We got to have some kind of plan to get out this mess. You understand? We got to take our destiny in our own hands. You understand? You know they don't have.
But guess what? Our biggest struggle is to get the minds of our children. If we don't get the minds of our children, it's a wrap. I mean, we can put together all kinds of things that we need to, but like that young man was saying, from his age group on up, we need to get the minds of our children back. And that means that the elders have to step up to the plate, and we need to start putting some things together. And like you said, it don't have to be a whole lot of us, maybe 5 or 10, you know, but if you have skills and you want to make it work, and let's make it work. And I see you, area code 336. I'm going to get you right back on. Give me one moment. I'm going to open up the mic to area code 111 and give Brother Donnie
ought
to get his phone back. Eric Code
111,
go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? My name is Ocean, and I've been listening to you. And I'm calling you today because I want to get understanding. I've been listening to you all, and you all sound so positive that I'm confused. Now, I do watch a lot of YouTube, and I listen to the debates and the different things. Now, I want to understand so that I can tell my people and my children the difference between a sect of Hebrew Israelites, the ones that are on Sidenetter's program sometimes, and they talk so horribly about black women. It's very divisive, and it's very disheartening, but I don't hear that from you all. So I'm kind of confused. Can you explain to me? And they say that they have nothing to do with Africans, but then I hear you guys, it seems like you're inclusive of all black folks. So can you explain to me the difference, please?
Of course. Two-part question from an African-American black woman who came into the knowledge that she was a Hebrew Israelite, understanding that abuse is everywhere, and when you go on YouTube and you start looking for training on YouTube, you have to be very careful because anyone can put a YouTube clip up. It's open. As long as you have the internet and a computer, you can upload a YouTube clip, and your opinions can go on YouTube. But the real Hebrew Israelite brothers that are really of the bloodline of Abraham do not speak like that. So when you come into contact with brothers that call black women bitches and call black women, they don't need us and we're no good and we're this, those you have to be suspect of those people. There are some genuine Hebrew brothers out there that respect us, that love us, that protect us, and they do everything in their power to make sure that we're uplifted, and that is what the Nation of Yehuda is about and the Yehuda Project. We have men and women, and we work together. together side by side, because our goal is to build a nation. And we try to protect individuals like yourself who is coming into the knowledge of this truth so that you're not turned off, because a lot of people see it and they get turned off. But we appreciate the fact that you've asked the question. And like I said, if you want to know more about what we're doing, we have a school that we offer on Thursdays, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, that's free. And if you can email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com, and the Yehuda spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, project@gmail.com, we'll give you some more information. When it comes to your other question, could you repeat the second question for me?
Yes, I sure can. They give a list of people who they consider to be brethren, and those various groups of people are, I'm thinking, modern-day extended tribes of Israel. And so they don't include Africans in there. Now, if I'm mindful of what you all just said. The brother said he was speaking to the people whose ancestors came over on the Atlantic slave trade. But then I'm listening to those Hebrew Israelites, and they say that is not them. Mm. They have nothing to do with the Africans. So it's kind of confusing. I'm wondering what is your position on that?
Brother Donnie, you want to take that question for?
Kane, I want to say I appreciate you calling in and giving your and coming up with your question and being a faithful listener. But the fact is that lack of knowledge, they have no understanding. When we first we were scattered into the.
His phone is breaking.
Uh-oh,
up. We're gonna see if he can come back. We lost you for a moment.
Oh man! Oh my God! I can't believe my phone is acting up like this. We were scattered into the land of Ham for 2,000 years. So quite naturally, you understand, we had to be a part of the African, Afrocentric peoples. You understand? So when we came here...
And he's going to tell you we didn't know what we were or who we were. I have to cover for him because his phone is acting bad today.
Go ahead.
Are you there, Brother Donia? And I'll take it
over. I'm here, but
I'm
telling you, I don't understand why my phone is acting up. I guess it's because I'm telling the truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
But these brothers are not astute as far as the doctrines are concerned, because I'm going to say this. I'm happy to know that you guys are explaining the difference to people. So from somebody on the outside looking in, and I'm not trying to give you guys any kind of protocol, but it really helps me knowing that you are not them. And I think a lot of people need to know that you are not them, because they really shed a bad light on the movement. I'm telling you. Yeah,
I know, and you know
awful.
What? That's what we were saying earlier, is that we believe that those people out there that are shedding that negative light are not real Israel, you know, because the enemy always brings the counterfeit before he brings the real thing. And we've been through enough as a people, and we have to learn how to love one another, because we're all in this captivity together. The kings and the people are in this captivity, and we've all suffered under the same oppression, and we've all had the same issues that we've had. And that's the purpose for the School of Knowledge, is because, and it's free again, we break down the table of nations in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 10, so that you understand, you know, the land of Ham. When he said the land of Ham, that's what he meant when we say Africa. We break down Ham's sons and who they were. We break down Japheth's sons and who they were. And then we break down Shem's son, because we were made to believe, coming out of Christianity, that we were Gentiles. And all through Christianity, they made us believe we were Gentiles. So when we realized that we were not from the seed of Ham and that we came from Shem, that broke. Then we started to investigate, well, who is Shem? And then we broke down his sons and all of his sons and Eber and all of the sons of Shem. And then that's how we get to Abraham. When you come down the lineage to you reach Abraham, then you understand how we call ourselves Hebrews. Now, it's only when Jacob's name was changed to Israel, that then we can call ourselves Hebrew Israelites, because he is the father of the 12 sons that were born from the four women. So, and it's all information, and it's there. It's right there in that Bible that they carry under their arm. And we have to even pray for those brothers, because some of them have even been brainwashed into believing that this is a campaign against each other. And as long as we fight each other, we'll never get the job done. So we at the Yehuda Project, the Nation of Yehuda, members of a better world, we've all come together to say, hey, let's start gathering our people. Let's start educating our people. Let's start bringing our people together so we'll be able to teach those like you that are becoming conscious, so that you'll have somewhere to bring your children where it's not a bunch of crazy stuff going on.
You know,
okay, so then when I am speaking to people, because they will say just what I have just told you, what do I say? Do I say that there are different sects and you need to?
Yes, you can tell them that there is a group called the Nation of Yehuda, and we're building the Nation of Yehuda, which is under the lineage of King David, and we are building a nation, and you give them the information that I gave you and send them directly to our email address, theyehudaproject@gmail.com. We will contact those people. That is the purpose why we're building this nation, because the church is about to wake up. And you know what? People don't realize they're sleeping. But let me say this to everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice. If the Most High never spoke anything in my spirit, I know for an surety that the church is waking up. And when they wake up, they have to have a solid foundation to go into. And if the foundation is not solid and they go on the website looking for knowledge, they are going to run into the very thing that this lady is talking about right now. So anybody that you come in contact with that is interested in the knowledge, that want to know what's going on, steer them away from the internet and give them the email address. And even if they don't want to be with us, we have groups that we can direct them off to that have a solid foundation and is solid in their teaching.
Yes.
Okay,
and
one other thing,
they can call they can call this radio station every Sunday and get better understanding than they would on the YouTube.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, well, listen, I thank you all for your patience, and you have a great day, okay?
Yes.
You too. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Shalom. All right, let's go back to this young man, area code 336. We have you back on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to say all gracious and all merciful benevolence to God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior. And that is the thing that we cannot forget, no matter how much of Israelites or Israel we be. We cannot forget the King of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. That's
okay. We got. We lost him again, Brother Adonijah. Is your line back on? Because the young man, we don't have him either. Can you take it from here?
I can hear you. I just hope that y'all hear me.
Yes, sir. We hear you.
Yeah, and I appreciate the peoples that called in, man, and they did have some they gave us a chance to expound on some things that needs to be said. As long as we keep this program going on, you understand, we're waking up people. People, and it's not no overnight situation.
No, it's not.
Today, right now, is waking people up because the time is short here. You understand?
Yes.
He's hastening these days. You understand? And the longer we stay on this this week to week program and the school of knowledge gets up off the ground, people will be awakening to the true and living Yah. Now we all know it's not going to be everybody. You understand? Unfortunately, everybody is not going to accept this here. And those that are talking contrary to the Almighty, you understand, they're going to get paid for it. And the Almighty don't miss nobody. Everybody gets paid. If you're good, you get paid. If you're bad, you get paid.
That is true.
We don't know the difference. Unfortunately, we don't know the difference. You understand? That's how it's been. People are, you know, they've been misled, mistaught. You understand? And our leaders have caused the people to err. You understand? And get away from. You understand? You know, if you're skeptical, like I was skeptical when I first came in this way. You understand? I had questions. You understand? But I wasn't knowledgeable enough in the way to bring my questions and ask any questions. So I let my questions wane and I didn't ask no questions.
That's true.
And by listening and coming to a practical conclusion. See, because the Almighty's laws, statutes, and ordinances are practicality.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? If you do these laws, you should live and not die.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So there's a lot of things that we need to be able to give people an understanding. Now, as of the younger generation, you understand, we need to put something in place for them so that when they do take these college programs, you understand, they can go right from that college program into something that we have established for them. They may not get the top salary at the beginning, you understand, because some of these things have to be done, you understand, because of the need, not necessarily.
That's true. Absolutely. I agree with you. And
Almighty will give you the money, you understand, once you see the opening of your heart. Hallelujah. Sorry.
Right, and then a lot of the jobs they should start working toward is service-related jobs, you know, like plumbers and electricians and all of those things that we can start, and that's why we have the Chamber of Commerce so that you all can separate it by cities, separated by states, and then separated hopefully by cities, and then be able to put your information up on the internet so that the people who are associated with can go to that particular join the Nation of Yehuda, have a password protected access, go to the Nation of Yehuda, be able to pull that information off and call you instead of calling Roto-Rooter. These are the things that we can put in place right now, but you know what we hear from most black people? They say, I don't even want to do business with black people because it never turns out the way it's supposed to, and they end up taking their money to the other nation. So we have a responsibility, too, to bring some integrity to the way that we do business so that people
that
will want to do business with us. It's a complete
we have to have an investigation.
Because I'm telling you, we have gone through a lot.
Yeah. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing that I'm finding out, too, is that we have to have an investigative body. You understand that when we send people on a job through a certain agency, we got to make sure that they hold to the integrity of the. We got to have those type of people. You understand what I'm saying? We got to have inspectors to go around to those jobs that they have been on and make sure that the job is being done correctly, so that we can regain the integrity of the children of Israel, the whole nation. You understand? Because you understand that would give us, that would bring back the integrity. You know, if we can be known to do the job correctly, and we can do the job correctly, if sometimes it's just a lack of funds. You understand? Or it's not because we're lazy. Because we're the people that put this whole place together, so we're not lazy at all.
Built this whole country. You got that right. Got that right. We're still building it with our little bit of dollars that we do have. And that's what I wanted to say about the Nielsen report. The Nielsen report even studies how much time each individual spends on social network, how much time black males spend on social network from the ages of 18 to 25, and how much time they spend on social network from the ages of 25 to 35. And it goes on and on. These people are studying us, so that they know how to advertise to us, so that they know how to keep us distracted and be able to take our time, our talent, and our treasures. So, you know, we have to reverse this thing and begin to start utilizing the skills that we have right within our own nation.
That is correct. You're absolutely right. We got skilled people in our own nation that can, you know, that's what, you know, I'm trying to say here is that we, every industry on this, in America, we got people at the top that know that industry from the bottom to the top. You understand? So we cannot never say that we don't know. We've become such a needy folk. You understand? Because of our financial background, we scared to cut loose of these Europeans that keep us captive. But as long as we stay under their captivity, man, we gonna be out of a job anyway. You understand? Because they're not doing things correctly. You understand? They shipped all the jobs. Does that hurt? That don't hurt them white folks as much as it hurts us.
That's true.
We know, so we need to start trying to build our own industries. I mentioned to a brother who is a psychologist. I know him. You understand? I know him and his wife. I know their children. You understand? So I said, so what we need to do, you know, overseas, I said, well, we need to open that factory. You understand? We need to get five or six of us, man, to pool our money, man, and open up the factory. He said, well, it wouldn't do no good because the parts that it took to run that factory will be sky high. I said, we need to do it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? We need to do it anyway. But, see, we always want to bring in excuses why we can't do.
That's true. And guess what? Out of all of the, and I want everyone to get a chance, pull it up. It's called the Nielsen Report, and it's spelled NIELSEN, African American Consumer. And the one piece of it that they don't bother with is advertisers spending with media focused on black audience. Guess how much it is? It's 3%.
I know that's right.
3%. They don't even worry about advertising to us because they know they have us so doggone brainwashed that if you put a swift sweeper on there and you got a black woman pushing it and a white woman pushing it, they're going to go buy that thing anyway. Even though they don't need nothing but a broom, and they're going to go buy this swift sweeper, whatever they call this thing, like it's going to do something different. They don't even bother with really putting any effort into specifically marketing just to us. All they need to do is show us that somebody else wanted, and we are so brainwashed that we spend our dollars doing it.
I'm telling you.
Hey.
So, you know, there is also, you understand, is that, you know, anything that those Europeans say, do, or put out, we buy it. But you let one brother or sister say something and we not even consider it. They won't even consider that. You know, so that's...
Brother Donia, how long have we been asking for everybody? We have 30,000 listeners. How long have we been asking for those 30,000 people to send $1? $1!
Mm-hmm.
$1!
I know that's right. Well, we want to put, you know, take that $1
You're breaking up. We can't hear you.
End of the month and send that, you understand? Because most of the time, you understand, that $1, you can't even spend in America. And
you
get nothing.
You can get a hot dog or a hamburger at McDonald's for $1. You can buy an artificial hamburger at McDonald's.
You know what I'm saying? Well, it wouldn't be a... They took that $1 and $1 a day and saved it for 30 days. They'll have $30. Send that over so that we can open up the business of your choice.
Absolutely. I mean, it's unreal. You guys need to really go online and see the efforts that have been put into studying the black African American consumer
and see how much that they study everything. They even study branding, how many of us actually buy designer clothes and how many of us actually promote movies and what percentage of us actually go to the theater to see the movie from just the previews or how many of us have to see it on the big screen. They even study, they even have a description of the advertisements that they show on the big screen before they actually show the movie, what percentage of us are actually persuaded by that. I mean, they break it down. It's just unbelievable to the things that we do. And we think that it's just unreal. It's unreal. I mean, it is.
Yeah. Well, we have to learn how now to pick our priorities. And see, that's one thing that we got to understand. We got to be able to things up and put things in motion, and then then we can see what people, what our brothers and sisters will do. You understand? If we put things in place, you understand? Like this think tank that's coming up here in October, you understand? We find out, we put things in place. We start putting things in place. See, I don't want to go without us setting up who going to do what and following up, because that's what we need to do. You understand? We can't just keep having conversations, you understand, and then nothing happens. We got to start doing things. We don't have the window of opportunity is closing fastly. You understand? The indignation that Almighty has against these nations is vastly upon us. You understand? And we want to be put in place so that the Almighty will hide us in the day of His great wrath, because that's what's going to happen. This stuff is getting ready to fall apart, and we need to be able to save ourselves.
That's true. I mean, you know, it's just sad. Like I said, if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push one. We want to include you in the conversation, you know, and it's just the extent. And it's sad when you look at our people and you look at the situation and what we've had to endure, where we are as a people, you know, and all of the things that we're still going through today. We're still experiencing the same thing today. And we have to start doing something, or at least being prepared when the Most High begins to open up the minds of the people, because He has their minds closed. And like you said, there's the elect. And see, the difference between us and them is they have the elite and we have the elect. We have the elect mm-hmm. and the very elect. That's a part of our group. And we have to begin to wake up the elect and the very elect to let them know, let's stop fighting. It's time to come together. But there's a lot of, that lady is right, there's a lot of crazies out there, and they have people following them and talking about, and they believe in the Talmud, and they talk about they can have sex with a three-year-old. All kind of crazy stuff is going on. And they call themselves Hebrew Israelites. So if you know anyone that is becoming conscious, please tell them to steer clear of YouTube and the Internet. Because these people grab a Bible, they can put a YouTube clip up there, and before you know it, they can sound like they are the authoritator on certain issues, when you really should just begin to pray and ask the Most High to send you in the right direction and just begin to read the scriptures.
That is correct. That is correct. Understand? See, once you understand, and you'll get a clear picture, and it changes your whole perspective. You understand? You understand certain things, and now once it changes your perspective, you will be able to make better choices. You understand? Once you get a clearer understanding.
Absolutely.
You understand? You listen to them guys. You know what right from wrong. You understand? And you know what they saying is dead wrong.
That's true. That is very true.
If you want some clarity, you understand, call into the radio station or give somebody else's number and let them call into the radio station and be directed into which way to go here. You understand? Because if you know right from wrong, you know what they're saying is not true.
That is very true.
They've been misled.
Like I said, we have enough to fight against. We're fighting against ourselves. We're fighting against the oppression. We're fighting against the young people who are fed up with the condition and the results that they're in. And then we're fighting against the powers that be. And then now we have to fight against this image of Israel that has propped itself up on television and on the internet. And people are looking at it like, if this is the truth, I'm going back to the lie.
I know that's right.
And anytime the lie has more joy than the truth, something is wrong somewhere.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. That's why I say, Sister Yaina, is that we got action speaks louder than words. We can tell somebody all day long. But if we don't have nothing to show for it, you understand, they're going, like you said, they're going to go back to the lie. You understand? That is very true.
That is so true. It is, you know. And then you have church. Church is very organized. Church is very detailed. They have a program. You come in, you know they're going to sing a few songs, get you excited. He's going to preach a scripture out of the Bible and then relate it to your personal circumstances, and he's going to let you shout, run, speak in tongues, and then they're going to collect the money. It's very organized. People know that they're taking their money, but because it's organized, people like organizations. And they're going to go and keep going, even though they don't see the results that the scripture says they're supposed to see. Because it's structured, people are going to stay there opposed to coming into something that we have that's all over the place. It's all over.
Yeah, that is. At some point, we're going to have to stop being. That's why I say, you understand what I'm saying? Those that have the understanding, like yourself, myself, and a number of other folks, you understand, that's trying to build the nation of Yehuda, you understand, need to start putting their talk into action. You understand?
Yeah.
Like you said, you got the nation of Yehuda. The school of knowledge. Yeah, the school of knowledge is a opening for those that don't have a clear understanding on what's going on. There it is. That's the school of knowledge. You understand? Now, of something that's tangible, something that they could really feel. You understand what I'm saying? Something that I had the program for getting them kids out of school, you understand, getting them kids out of the penitentiary and putting them on a job. You understand what I'm saying? That's a tangible thing. That I can go there, I can go to the penitentiary and just put myself into a frenzy. You understand? But if I don't have nothing to offer them guys when they get out of the penitentiary, what they going to do? The same thing.
They're going to reoffend. They're going to reoffend. I mean, because they have to eat. And most of them are going to reoffend because they need to eat. And the recidivism rate is going to continue to be high because they're going to reoffend because they have to eat.
Yeah, that's why we have to put something tangible. I might not give them that $1,000 a day, you understand? But if we can show them how they can become an entrepreneur through the program, you understand what I'm saying? And they may be able to open up their own business, you understand? A lawnmower business, agriculture, you understand what I'm saying? Or cement work, you understand? Or something, you understand? That they could open up to make them.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. Will you fade it out on us again, Brother Donia?
I am so sorry. I don't know
I mean, we understand you're having technical difficulties. But
I changed phones and I'm... Hello?
I said you are absolutely right. It is the same. You're right. We have to provide something. But once we provide it, guess what? It has to be a market base.
There has to be a target market that we can actually allow them to use their skills with us, and then there has to be a trust factor, because, you know, then you got to find out, you know, exactly what they're coming out with and what they've done, because we, you know, we have to make sure that they are trustworthy enough to even do business. But you deal with that every day with service workers that come in and out of your house and do different things. You really don't know anyone, so that's why it's best to have a network. And the reason why I say that is because my sister had called what is the food that's a specialty food? It's organic. She called this organic farm, and it was all by the people of the other nation. And the lady told her, she says, well, the way we do it is we have like a food co-op, and, you know, everyone pays a certain amount of money every year. And then, you know, some people work theirs off by working on a farm. And then we provide produce for the people who have paid into this. That is how the Nation of Yehuda is going to have theirs set up as well, so that we can actually trust the people that we send to you and know that these people are trustworthy, and we don't put anybody in harm's way. Because everybody out there is not honest, and everybody out there doesn't have our best interests at heart. So, you know, all of this has to be carefully orchestrated and put together so that we present ourselves as the righteous people that we're supposed to be.
One thing that, and you asked,
you faded out again.
Am I being heard?
Yeah, I can hear
Hello?
You now.
Oh, man. Oh. You're absolutely right when you say we have to organize this stuff, but it can be done. That's all. You know, that is my feelings about this is that we can never say it can't be done, or this, that, and the other, or if, ands, buts, and maybes. You understand? We got to be able to say we're going to do this. We're going to make it work. You can't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
No.
You understand?
No,
you got to be able to sit down and say, we're going to make this work. You understand? Whatever is in the thing that's not working, let's work on that.
Absolutely.
You understand?
Absolutely.
So, you know, things, you know, you understand? And put this stuff on paper and let's do it. Let's not say, oh, well, this can't work, you know. And that's been our cry all the time. That's not going to work. But I don't see nobody else doing nothing. The same people that say it ain't going to
That's true, Brother Donia. And guess what? We know it works because guess why we know it works? We had Dr. Scott Whitaker, who is a holistic doctor, on our show about 4 weeks ago. You guys can go on and archive and listen to the show. And after that, I know for a fact that several people went online and bought his books. I know they did. Several people went online after his show and went on Amazon or wherever they went, and they bought his books. So it works. If we have the type of show that can bring the entrepreneurs on and you provide a certain service, let us know. We'll add you to the website. We'll platform you on our show. The brother from Virginia, he contacted me. He has a website that does jewelry. They have a website that offers clothing. The one brother is in Baltimore, Maryland. He has beauty salons. They have beauty salon barbershops all through Maryland. They have jewelry. They have clothing. They have home health aid, shea butter for your skin. All of these things, we are going to put all of these things on the website, and then we're going to have them as guests on our show so that they can tell you exactly who they are and what they offer, and we can start promoting ourselves and doing this ourselves. It's easy to do.
That is absolutely correct. Correct. I am so proud of you. You understand? Because that's what it's going to take for us to get out this mess. You understand? We need everybody to start joining in, and we need to start dealing with ourselves. You understand? As long as we're here in America, we're going to have to pay taxes. So we pay our taxes and we deal with ourselves. Hallelujah.
Right.
I think that's ideal.
And for you all that are listening, just as a FYI, from the month of June to July, I just checked the stats. We have had a total of 1,550 people listen to the show. Those could be 1,550 customers.
That is correct. All of them is potential customers, aren't they?
All of them are potential customers. Now we're getting into marketing. All of this is potential customers.
That is correct. And from believe it or not, at one time or another, you're going to need one of these services.
Right. All of them are potential customers. And as you begin to organize and platform, we'll have you as a guest on the show. You can talk about your website. You can talk about your products. You can talk about all of the things that you have to offer us as a people, and we will advertise it on the show. This is free advertisement. I mean, who wouldn't want it? And I know for a fact that Dr. Scott Whitaker has sold some books. And when I get a chance, I'm going to check with him and see exactly how his book sales have increased, because people are still buying the book. It's called Medicine, and it's M-E-D-I-S-I-N. And they're buying the book. And it was just, we just talked. He gave us some information about what to do and how to do it. And from there, people bought his book, and they swear by it. Like, oh, my goodness, this is just off the chain. I mean, you know, these are the things that we have to learn how to provide for ourselves.
That is correct. Absolutely. Positively.
There's a lot of people Israel has that we don't tap into. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that I wish I had we had this website up, I mean this program, when I was doing home inspection. I needed to have somebody promote my home inspection business, but I ain't doing that no more, but I wish I had it there.
And you know what? I made my money, and this is where I made my money at. I used to run homes for elderly people. At one time, I was worth $1 million. And I ran homes for elderly people that had Alzheimer's and dementia. And I know exactly how to do it. My degrees are in business. Anyone out there that's interested in doing it from a large scale, from a small scale, if you want to open group homes or you want to just open small homes, I have the expertise I can put together. I write policies and procedures for the departments. I can build a company from the ground up, human resource, marketing department, legal department, any kind of department that you may need in order to run it. We create policies and procedures, internal controls. We do the whole nine yards, so we are fully able to help you do what it is that you need to do. And I know it's people out there with other skills. All we're trying to do is bring the skills to the table and be able to utilize it among each other and be trustworthy enough to be able to get the job done.
That is correct. That is correct. We need to follow up organizations also, man. How do they do on the job? Was it, you know, you understand, paperwork, even paperwork would do. You understand, you know, let the people that they work, that they go into their households, let them give them a good recommendation or a recommendation card or something, you understand, to, so that we can get build our integrity back up. You understand, of course. I know that our integrity was touched by whatever happened in Israel. You understand? So we need to try to build that back up. Because by those brothers on YouTube that come up with them crazy antics that they're doing, you understand?
Oh, my goodness,
it's
just terrible.
Better look.
We need something where people can say, okay, I found another organization that doesn't act like that.
That is correct.
We've got to provide an alternative. We have to. You know, because that is where we don't do something. You know, President Obama has been telling us this since he's been in office. Do something. Do something. Nobody's stopping you from doing it. Do it. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do something. But we need everyone's help in making this happen.
That is correct. You're absolutely
right. Also, I want to let you know, Brother Donnie, that I have an appointment with one of the funeral directors here in Cincinnati to be able to actually sit down with him and discuss. I invited him to come on the show, and maybe because it's Sunday and they're in church, he wasn't able to make the show. But I did invite him to come on the show because we were talking about actually setting up a whole separate category for the Hebrew Israelites that expire and pass away, and creating a resource, a bank of Kohanes and singers and all that to be able to give them the adequate Hebrew funeral when they pass away, so that they're honored in death as they were honored in life. So, you know, I'm in the process of doing that right now. We're doing that in every state. We're putting our database together right now so that we can contact the funeral homes, the black funeral homes in every state, and let them know who we are, and then try to set up something so that when our people pass away, that they'll be able to have something, you know, in writing. And then we can also put together, for those of you who are out there who know how to put together wills and advance directives and all of those things, so that you can let people know, in the event that I pass away, I do not want this. I want this, this, and this to happen to me. Or in the event that I cold and I'm not breathing anymore, I don't want you to resuscitate me. We want to be able to provide all the services that we need for our people.
That is correct. Did I mention to you that my teacher passed away?
You did.
Cohen left.
Did you go to the funeral?
No, his funeral was in New York City, man. I didn't even have no money.
Okay.
Yeah, but he passed away, you understand. I think it was Shabbat morning.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I really am. I'm really sorry to hear that.
But they tell me that his funeral and everything was, off the chain, because he taught a lot of people. You understand?
Absolutely. That's a good thing. That's what we want for all of our people, you know, that are becoming conscious, because, you know, like the man at the funeral home said, the funeral director said, it's always left in the hands of the families. And if you are the only Hebrew Israelite in your family, and they already looking at you with one eyebrow raised like you just fell off the cabbage wagon and something's wrong with you, you better have something written down in paper, because, you know, you're going to get a Christian funeral when you pass away from here. So we're just trying to fix it where that doesn't happen, you know, because it's a hard pill for some people to swallow. And they won't respond. Even in my own family, they will not respond. I invite them to our radio show every week, and then they probably look at that text and delete it.
I know that's right. Yes,
I know.
You know, like I said, man, you know, most of the time that we respond is when we in a tragedy, when something really happens.
Yeah, they delete it. Like, well, I'm not getting in that. You know, because like the lady said, the image that they see when they surf YouTube, it is crazy.
Now, I can understand that. I've seen them too. You understand? You know, and you know that I never had the feeling to be out there on the street to try to preach and all of that stuff. You understand? Even with the understanding that I got, I said that those that have that spirit, more power to them. But it didn't got off the chain here, man. The way they talk now. You understand? It used to be where they was dispensing a little wisdom and a little knowledge. But now when they shout down people and scream and holler and call people hoes and bitches and stuff like that, I think that needs to stop. I don't know who their teacher is, you understand, but he needs to get with them and to them. That's not the way to go. How could you want to draw people in to the understanding and you cut them down? What kind of sense does that make?
Exactly. Well, that's why we wonder if those people are really Israel, or are they really there to create a diversion? And that's questionable. But, you know, I don't knock the street preachers, because some of the brothers that when I first became conscious, they were very, very nice to me, and they explained a lot of things. I'm still in contact with them today. Some of them are in California. Some of them are in New York. Zabak has been on the show. I think Priest Dawam has been on the show as well a few times, and a couple of the other brothers that have been out there, and they do a lot of positive things. I know that Priest Dawam in California, he feeds the homeless and the hungry on Sunday. That's why he doesn't come on the radio show, because he's on the street corner passing out food and drinks, you know, to the people, and he uses this, you know, as a humanitarian act, but also to be able to get the knowledge out to the people that are in California. And I think he's in Los Angeles
down by Crenshaw, you know, so they're, all of them are out there doing positive things. And for the ones that are positive, we support 100%. You know,
that
because
is
that's
correct.
A part
I want,
of us.
You know,
we have to get out there and reach it. We're talking about those other groups that are out there arguing against each other, talking about the black woman like we are no good and we are not, y'all doesn't love us and we are not to be counted. Those are the ones you steer clear from.
And you know what? Half of them guys come off the street anyway. So I don't know what they're talking about. How could you possibly want to change the behavior, you understand, when you cutting people down like that? I don't get that at all. You understand?
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, my sentiments go out to those people, you understand, that's hearing that nonsense, man, and cannot distinguish and needs to distinguish between what's real and what is not, because that stuff right there has got to be, you understand, something to say, well, I'm not, you know, if I was them, I'd cross the street. You understand what I'm saying? Early, if I see a crowd down there and I seen them guys, I'm going the other way. I'm going to find me another way back home.
Because
there ain't no way I'm going to listen to all that stuff. And see, and the thing with me is that I'm going to say something, and that gets you in trouble when you say something. You understand what I'm saying? I want to be able to explain to them, brothers. Then we got to get into the real back and forth conversation and all of that stuff, man. Before we know it, we arguing. I don't need all of that, man. You understand? There's a better way to do this.
Right. And you know what, Brother Donia, I want to play something so people don't think we're crazy, so they will know exactly what we're talking about. I want you all to hear how these young brothers is talking. And from some of you elder brothers that are listening, listen at why the lady said what she said. Just give me a minute. I'm going to put it right on. Here we go. I want you to hear what he says. Just listen to it. 1 minute. All right. Let me get it again. Here we go.
A death and rape threats caught on camera at a community gay day celebration. It happened when participants and protesters outside the event in Grand Rapids Saturday clashed. Someone recorded their interaction and put it on YouTube. We should warn you that we have edited some words out, but the language in the story you're about to see is still very offensive. News Channel 3's Shireen Tagaro will be joining us live in Grand Rapids tonight with more. Shireen.
Good evening, Andy. The young woman who recorded and posted the video to YouTube tells me she was within earshot of that fence when she heard one of the protesters tell her he was going to rape her. She said she just couldn't ignore that. Now, we talked with her over the phone. She was too worried about her own well-being to talk on camera.
Talking about it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Excuse me?
We're told these words came from the Black Hebrew Israelites. Many classify them as a hate group.
Human beings should not talk to each other that way ever.
Aaron Wilson was celebrating Gay Day at Cherry Street Park Sunday when things got ugly.
The music ended, the event ended, and suddenly there was enough quiet for the awful things that they were saying to be heard.
Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. What does ravished mean? It means gonna break your ass, and I'm gonna have fun doing that. And you're gonna like that. I promise.
I don't know that I would have been able to stand there and not react. I mean, that kind of provocation.
You are okay. You are okay.
The woman whose voice you hear tells me she called 911, but the officer who responded told her there was nothing he could do. That's when she posted this video online.
Look at my eyes. You see me joking? Because the Lord said that's what we're going to do.
They even cite from the Bible, claiming it backs them up.
That crossed the line. That's like, you know, yelling fire in a theater. There are things that free speech cannot protect because it puts people in harm's way.
As for the woman from the video, it got worse. She says when her boyfriend got there, the men recited his license plate number and said they were going to find and kill him and rape her.
He needs to go to jail. That's what
the Grand Rapids Police Department does have an active investigation into this case. Now, the woman in the video also tells me she's glad that people are seeing this video and discussing it.
All right, Brother Donnie, what you say about that's the kind of stuff right
there.
Those
guys that said those things need to be in jail. They can't just say that out their mouth, man, don't go to jail. And those, you know, oh, man. And guess what? They said Hebrew Israelites. That gave us a bad name, boy. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, you understand? That's why we got to try to build our integrity up, you understand, and let them see a different view of it. A couple of weeks ago, a lady said that she could not distinguish between who was an Israelite and who was a Jew. They look at us in a bad light. If they look at those things and hear that stuff, you understand, everybody that they see that call themselves a Hebrew Israelite is looked at as though we part of that sect. And I'm not, you know, that's, you know, I kind of knew that those things would get out of hand once we start going on the street.
Yep, it's off the chain. That's why the women
street.
Feel like they feel. That's why they feel that way.
You understand? That is that, you know, that is, you understand, you know, because, see, you understand, and they went on there and was unchecked. Nobody said, oh, man, don't say that. You can't say that. You understand what I'm saying? Or you got to be teaching the truth, not everybody down under there. That didn't have nothing to do with the truth. Nothing. Not a thing. You understand? They didn't mention, you can't back that up with no scripture. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, I can understand it. I really can. You understand?
You can
that
understand,
really,
but you ain't heard nothing yet. Check this brother out. Give me one more minute. It's 3 minutes. Listen to this. Here we go. Watch this. This is how bad off we are.
This is a short video for the black women. Not all black women, but the ones that have this particular mentality. Now, we all know that our communities are in trouble. Our young black men primarily are in trouble. They're dying out in the streets and they're being incarcerated. No one's doing anything about it. So the first thing I hear quite a few black women say is, you know, to brothers that are out there actually working and they have an opinion, I hear quite a few of them say things like, well, why don't you mentor them? You know what? Black females have to get out of the mindset of dependent upon other men to father their children. Now, a lot of it's your fault. I'm not going to put all the responsibility off on you, but a lot of that is your fault, the reason why the kids' father are not in their lives. You chase these men away, you know? Your only interest and concern is that child support payment. You don't care anything about the relationship between that child and the father. You only care about that money that you get every week or every month. You understand? So you failed at raising these young boys and these girls. So right now you really don't have anything to say because your time has expired. We already see the result of your thoughts and your actions. So for you to tell these men out here that maybe you should mentor, well, if you didn't chase these men away, if you didn't put a block between this child and his father, there would be no need for a mentor because his father would be there as his mentor, as his protector, as his example. You understand? So black females, you have to get out of the mindset of looking to other men to raise your children because you chase the father away. You put a wedge between that boy and his father. You fill that child's head with a bunch of negativity about how no good his dad is. And a lot of y'all are hating your son because they look like the father. You understand? So y'all really have nothing to say with that, man, because I'm sick of this mess, man. It's like, you know, these kids are dying out here and nobody really cares anything about it. And then when a man steps up and says something, the first thing you want to say is like, well, why aren't you mentoring him? Why don't you talk to that little black boy? Well, you know what? If you didn't put a wedge between him and his father, he wouldn't need a mentor. You understand? So cut that nonsense out, man. Your time has expired. You have nothing to say about this issue because we already see the results of what you do and how you think. Till next time.
All right, what do you got to say about that?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you know, see, people will always say what cannot be done or what they shouldn't do or what's the name, but he ain't give up no solution. All he did was say what he thinks that the woman is their time is up, and they, you know, you understand? He's saying, you understand? Maybe some, maybe one out of every 10 woman has that in her mind, but most of them, men are struggling trying to take care of their kids. You understand? A lot of the men have lost their job, went in to try to sell dope or whatever it was. You understand? And they wind up in the penitentiary. Now they ain't got nobody to teach, to train their children. That has a lot to do with it. You understand? Then this brother, and rather than, I mean, he could get a mentor program going. I think that's a good thing. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. You understand? There's a problem. We got to think about a solution to the problem. Don't keep cutting everybody down, because there's more to it than meets the eye. Hallelujah.
The phone lines have lit up. Okay, so I know these are the kind of topics that gets people talking, and that's what this is all about. We want people to start talking and get people talking. So I'm going to go to the phone lines, and I'm going to start with area code 757 first. 757, go ahead. You're on the air.
Kane, shalom, shalom. Peace and blessings to you. Let's give her a Dina.
Shalom, shalom.
How are y'all doing today? I want to give honor to our King, our Creator, blessed be his name, and thank you all for having me. Thank you all for continuing the conversation. I've been listening for a while. You know, I'm the type of, had a few things on my mind as I was listening. I really don't raise my hand or volunteer myself to speak unless, and I feel I can add something or bring something to the table, because we do that a lot. You know, we talk a lot, and sometimes we be talking loud and saying nothing. But I'm just saying, because, you know, it takes all types to make the world go round. You know, when I listened to that second text that you just brought into the room, I didn't hear the first one so carefully. I know it was about some mean Israelites who did something or set a really bad example. But I didn't want to really raise my hand to talk about that one. I heard the brother say about a mindset. He said the sister's got to get a mindset. And that's a key word for me. That stood out. As I think that's what we all must do, not just about sisters. And, oh boy, for a wedge between him and his father. You know, how many sisters really have babies from a brother just so they could set a wedge between them? You know, so many dynamics that go on there. You know, an average black woman, speaking from a woman's perspective, you know, if they have a baby, it's somebody they love, someone they want to have a connection to. I mean, every now and then you get your oopsies. You know, I used to watch the Maury's and the baby mama drama and all that good stuff, bad stuff. You know, it just goes again to say, you know, it really takes so many different kinds of personalities to make this world go round. And we are still caught up, unfortunately, in not knowing ourselves. We are still caught up in the things that go on around us. We are still caught up in the vision of our eyes, not learning to look past the visions of our eyes, looking to our Creator, calling on our Creator. We're still, you know, pointing out everything, so much that's wrong with us as a people. And I get it all. Born and raised in Brooklyn, New York City. Born and raised in Brooklyn, New York City. Been there, seen a lot, done a lot, heard tell of a whole lot of things. But you know what? The saving grace always is our Creator and our King. And we, as we are coming back, you know, we must set us, have ourselves a sense of purpose. I think it's important, imperative that we talk about us, that we magnify us and our Creator. Because I heard Elder Adonia say, how are you going to, you know, give a message to the people when it's hard or harsh? You know, you want someone to think about your Creator, you have to bring forth you're servant of the Most High. What you talking about? Tell me more about that. Versus, hi, it isn't, you know. So I always accent the positive. My brother Nye is not here today. I really wanted to go ahead and share a little bit of the sentiment he shared on last week when we were talking about the ironness and the automated this and the zombie this and all the things that this society is actually proliferating, keeping on, propaganda, inspiring, encouraging, not inspiring, but trying their best to influence, to discourage, to distract us from who our Creator is and how we can and be strong. I love what you're talking about with the business-wise, and I may the Most High bless me. I'm going to be in touch with you on that level because I'm very much about entrepreneurial and business and production. For those who have those kinds of conversations, let us pray for them. Hallelujah. Let us pray for them. Let us be the light. Let us be those ministers, those priests of nations that the Most High said we will be. Let us call on God. Let us understand that the time is at hand. See, we can have the wholesomeness. We can have the freedom. We can have the victory. Not just in our futures, but in our lives right now. We can get out of the poverty. We can get out of the sadness. We can get out of the confusion, of the poverty, of the relationships, of the legal situations that we find ourselves in when we do what? When we call on, I mean, lift our voice to the Creator. And our finding solution for those problems says, let me find a solution to the problem. And sometimes we don't always go to the problem, to the problem solver.
That is correct.
You see, we point it out so often, and it's all around us. It's so prevalent. It's getting crazier. Hello? It's not getting better. This society is not getting better. It's getting crazier, so we must get saner, stronger, more focused on who our help is. And with the money, Kane, I love it. I love me some money now. I'm like you. I've gone through a few small fortunes. And when I say going through, I mean going through. But that's okay, because I never give up. And I know that in my future, because I'm rich with wisdom, I'm rich with spirit, I'm rich with commitment, I'm rich with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so those are enduring riches. And those are the things that when we embrace them, it's going to manifest themselves in us. It's that mindset, and everyone is going to see everyone. Just like when Moses told Pharaoh to let my people go, the Most High heart in Pharaoh's heart, just so that the Most High can have his glory. I'll be with you in 1 second, talking to my son, so that the Most High can have his glory. And that's where we're at right now. We are being tried in a furnace of adversity, and it's coming to a great day. It's coming to a beautiful day. We are cognizant. We are doing something. We are committed. We are seeing. We are faithful servants and calling on the Most High first and foremost, putting him first and foremost. We say it. Let us do it more so than ever. Let us do it more so than ever. And that's what faith asks you to do, because sometimes you got to believe it before you see it. You see, we want to see something, then we believe in it.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes you have to have that belief with a perfect faith, because people don't want belief in this. You know, people get caught up in so many words and semantics. Sometimes you got to believe in it before you see it. That's what faith asks us to do. So having said that, hey, love and love, the conversation as always. I wish we could really get a major network. I just got off our little show we have right before you. We've got another show on Thursday evenings, Freedom, Free Expression Open Forum with Adonai Naya, and your show is great, and wow, just putting all that networking together, just supporting each other, not the independent me, not the all about me syndrome that we also find ourselves, you know, experiencing sometimes. I think will get us right where we're going, because we're getting there, you see. We're getting there. The time is now. Ain't no time right now. No, we're not what tomorrow can bring. Praying to see you tomorrow. You know, the time is now. We got this breath. We got this energy. We got this strength. We got this knowledge. We got this wisdom. We got this voice. We got this health right now. Wow, me. So, having said that, some blessings to you all. And still listening. Read some Zechariah 13 and 9, how the Most High is going to bring us out with twice what he put us in. Not going to bring us there to leave us there. Not going to bring us there to leave us there. This is not permanent. This is not permanent. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, Brother Donia, we got area code 413. Area code 413, go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom.
We give them a minute to unmute their phone. They probably had their phone unmuted. I wanted to play one more clip for you guys before we hang up this evening. I wanted to give you, I'm going to go back to you, area code 413. because I know you've been holding on for a moment, but I want to play this clip. I want you to hear this. Here we go.
A lot of questions about. The topic is why black men date or marry white women or date or marry white women exclusively. I've also seen this a lot on the internet, and it's troubling. If you ask black women, you'll hear many black women say, well, black men hate black women. And if you've heard some of the things I heard on YouTube and on the internet, you would be hard-pressed to prove these women wrong. Some of the things that a lot of these black men say are atrocious about black women, but I don't think that this is why black men date white women. I think that it starts in the home. I think that most people know that black women raise black sons. They raise black men. And I don't think it's the question of, well, women can't raise men or it takes a man to raise a man. I think that that's ridiculous. I think it's ludicrous. I think black women have been raising black men long enough that it's, and women have been raising men long enough that it's flat out false and a lie to say that women can't raise men. But I think the issue is that in our communities, we have lower economic status. We have very depressed communities. And when you live in a depressed community and your mother is the person who is raising you, you start to see that woman as struggle. I think black men have started to see black women and have for a long time seen black women as struggle. Not as bad people, but as people who intrinsically have to struggle. Because, let's face it, everything is not paid for. Everything is not there. And so when you see your mother and your sister and your grandmother and your aunt struggle, that's who you associate with struggle, particularly when you watch television and you see white faces doing well and flourishing, and you see your primary caregiver is having to have two and three jobs to pay the bills. That's struggle. A lot of black men say that they have bad attitudes, but I think that if you would have to struggle, you might, if it's true that black women have bad attitudes, you might have a bad attitude too.
All right, what do you got to say about that? When they look at us, they see us as struggle. And with the white women, they don't have to struggle.
Yeah, well, if you're talking to me, you understand?
Yes.
This is part of the plan. You understand? If you read Psalms 83, it tells you that we are not supposed to be a nation again. And so what more, the easier, this is part. Deplete the nation, you understand, marrying into the other nation, you understand, and turning us from a people of color to a mulattoes. Then they got the other thing about homosexual, turning us into homosexuals. You understand? See, we in a society where anything goes, You understand? Anything but the law, but the true and living Yah's law and statutes, ordinances, commandments, all of those things. And so we had a pinnacle point. You understand, where we can go this way or we can go the other way. You understand? We can choose righteousness or we can choose death. So it's just a matter of us making the choice to do what we need to do to reestablish ourselves as a nation. We gotta stay in the way. It's on its way. You understand? It's not too far off. You understand that righteousness is not gonna reign. Hallelujah. Bring that brother on.
All right, everyone that's in the chat line, you have 1 minute to call in, or you will be disconnected. I'm going back to area code 413, and then we're gonna wrap it up. Area code 413, your line is open. If you want to make a comment, please unmute your mic if you can so we can hear you. We'll give him are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I was listening to this, and I've heard a lot of these different points of view about our people and stuff, and coming to the realization that I myself am a Hebrew Israelite, and after dealing with the astonishment of that, the weight of realizing that the Bible was talking about me specifically, the solution that I've been trying to advocate, you know, the best way I can, is to say that before we do anything as a nation, especially know that we are Hebrew Israelites and we are the chosen of the Most High, the first thing, the most important thing above businesses, above trying to fix our communities or fix ourselves, because we can't fix ourselves, the Most High did this to us. Okay, he's the one that peeled us and scattered us. He's the one that levied these curses on us, that despite our gifts, our intelligence, our cunning, and our ability to survive, brings us low all the time. The most important thing is to repair that relationship as a nation to him. And our networks, all of our networks should be focused on that. We should be focused on a corporate gathering, not for money, not to save this, not to save that, not to spend money on this, not to fix our communities, but fixing and repairing the central, most important thing, and that is our relationship with the Most High. Because as a group, we can do it individually. It's not going to avail us. But as a nation, we have to do this, and it's imperative. And that's the only thing that's going to work, because he is a jealous God. The Hebrew God, our God, is a jealous God. And this is what we need to kind of understand. He is not going to allow us to prosper in anything outside of him, period. That's just how it is. This is what this whole thing is about. This is why we're in captivity. This is why our enemy has done the things to us to such a degree, and the Most High has allowed it to bring us to the realization that we are dependent upon him and him alone. And once we as a group, you know, get off of our high horse about our intellect and trying to figure what's out right and wrong, throwing scripture at each other, and humble ourselves and pray to him, that is the only way. And no one wants to really listen to that and really get together to do that. But that is what we have to do as not sending money over to Israel to help them out, nothing. We have to focus as a group, as a collective, okay, as a nation, with a cry out to the Most High. And that is the only way we're going to come out of this. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, hallelujah. Well, let me say something in response to what you just said. We agree. That's what we're doing, is gathering our people together so that we can go before the Most High and to cry out to him. But at the same time, some people are prospering. There are people who are living very well. There are African-American people that are doctors, they're lawyers, they're dentists. You know, like I said before, at one point I was worth $1 million. So some of us are prospering. We have had that, what they call the American dream. So there are people at different social levels that are able to acquire certain things and have certain things. I think that you're right in terms of our going before the Most High. As a nation, we won't prosper, and we won't have the prosperity that we had before we were put into this captivity. You're absolutely right about that. But we have to gather ourselves together first before we can actually come together and pray together. But even with that, sir, it's so many different components with so many different beliefs that people won't pray with us because we're New Testament, we're complete Bible. Then there's people that don't believe, or they only believe in the Torah and all of those type of things. So it's so many different components that divide us. That's why we focus on nation building. We don't deal with beliefs and the things that we believe. We know that Yah is our God. He is our Elohim. You know, and that's what we're trying to do. That's what the nation of Yehuda is all about, gathering our people. But before we can do that, we have to educate them on who they are.
Hallelujah. I totally agree with what you're saying. You understand? See, like I said, when early on in the broadcast, in the whole a year ago, I said that we came here as ourselves as Hebrew Israelites. We were scattered into the land of Ham for 2,000 years. And the Almighty had already said that he was going to take his understanding away from us. So we was under their deities, you understand? And then when we came into this captivity by ships from Africa, you understand what I'm saying? There was no... We went from that captivity right into... We went from that understanding right into this captivity, and we tried to grasp hold of anything that was going to stop that chain whip, beaten, maimed, and murder. So we have a we have 2,500 years of misdirections and everything. You understand? Only way that we is that we start trying to gather ourselves under something that we know that's going to work to a strategy that's going to sustain us when this great wrath comes. You understand? Now, I agree with you, you understand, about us having a group, not necessarily a group, a community prayer that everybody need to fall on this early on. You understand? The Day of Atonement. You understand? We need to all call on the Almighty, and when we finish calling on the Almighty, we wait for his answer by us getting up off our knees and doing something. We don't do nothing, you understand what I'm saying? All that prayer and stuff will just fall on deaf ears. Because what we have to do is action speaks louder than words. We can call on the Almighty, tell him how much we ask him to forgive us, for our forefathers, for all of his sin, all of their sins and ours. And now we need to get up and do something about our condition. We don't do nothing about our condition. Nobody else will. Hallelujah.
I agree 100%. And as like the brother said, you know, when it comes to us gathering and working together, we're just bringing everyday practical solutions to the problem, because we all have to go to work, working for someone or for yourself. And because we're in this America and we're in this captivity and we're in this corporate country, one thing that we can't do is work for ourselves. So what we're trying to do is let all of those Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters that are unemployed or those who are not making enough money and want to start their own business, we work among ourselves, because we still have to eat at the end of the day. It's just a practical solution to a survival issue. And once we get those things under control, you know, then that'll soften the blow, because even if you walk up to a brother right now and tell him you're a Hebrew Israelite and he hungry, he don't care nothing about that. He want a hamburger.
That is correct.
That's the only thing that's going to solve the problem. So we have to solve the immediate problem before we can extend it out to an ethnic issue. So we have to be able to say, hey, look, we're going to show you how to make money, and not only show you how, we have a whole database or a whole entity over here where these people will buy from you. If you create this product and this service, we can produce the customers for you. Here's a whole customer base right here that we're going to introduce your business to, and then you'll be able to make income for your family, because every man and woman want to be able to feed their children.
That is correct. That is correct. We know about we know about the true and living Yah. And he inspires us to do something for ourselves. Trust me, it ain't about, it's about prayer, yeah, but it's about doing too. You know what you do? You pray that the Almighty bless your hand in what you put your hand to do.
That is correct. And it's terrible that we have to go to the Catholic Church to get help. We should be able to do that.
As many people
as we have on this show that have listened to this radio show, we have 30,000 some odd people who have listened to this show. If each one of those people would have sent a dollar, we would have $30,000 sitting in an account somewhere, so that when one of our brothers and sisters wasn't able to pay their rent or fell on hard times, we would be able to help them.
That is absolutely correct. My sentiments exactly.
And that don't take prayer. That just takes common sense. Because when we need help, we have to go to the other nations to get it. Because everybody is so bent on we in captivity and nothing's going to change. Yes, some things we can change. Because like I said before, here in Cincinnati, Ohio, we have a jazz festival that comes every year. Black people, African-American people, Hebrew Israelite people, spent $19 million in 3 days. Those are the things we can change. That don't take prayer.
And what did they spend that $19 million on? Was it something tangible?
No, eating, and going to a concert, watching somebody twerk and shake their behind. Gas, food, and lodging. $19 million in 3 days. So we do have the disposable capital to bring this thing together. Because everybody else getting rich off of us, we just don't want to help each other. When it comes to helping each other, then all of a sudden we got to pray to y'all first. That's common sense. That's economics 101.
That is correct.
So that's all we're saying, and we're not going to hold you any longer because I think we have touched on every topic. If there's anyone out there that wants to make a last and final comment, please push 1. We ask that you do not hang up because you will not be able to call back in after 5:30. We are recording. We're in overtime. If you have another question, please push 1. If you have a last comment, please push 1. Brother Donia, do you have anything you want to say before we close it out?
To say that those people that called in, keep calling in, you understand, and show that passion for us trying to build a nation. We're going to do it, you understand. It's just we can do it sooner and we can do it better if everybody participates. Those 35,000 people, you understand, send in $5, $5 a month. If you send $5 a month, we can support some things that we say that we need. You understand? We need to build this financial institute. You understand? The financial institute will support maybe a clinic in your area. You understand? Or we can start producing our own groceries.
That's right.
I want to. You say that you do clothes. You understand? Then we might want to help you support yourself until you're able to sustain yourself. So these things right here could be done. These are
That's
things
right.
that can be done. You
That's
understand?
Right. That don't take
the name of the Almighty,
don't
they can be
care.
Done.
We've been doing it anyway. We're just buying it from the other nations. And we're so
yeah,
psychologically
We don't
on.
Produce nothing.
Nope. That's
I mean,
right.
you know, we don't never produce nothing for ourselves, you understand? We're going to always buy from the other nations, you understand? And when they close down shop, guess what? We're going to be in the dark.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, that's why we do what we do. That's why we spend the money to be on the radio show every week. And we also have a show on Tuesday night, Members of a Better World. They bring professionals on. That's booming, that has it going on, that's actually have made it, you know, and they're talking to our people. Everybody's talking from every social level, from every economic level. Everybody's talking. It's time now. It's nation-building time. It's time to come together and help support ourselves because if we don't, we're going to be in trouble because a whole lot of us is government rich. You know, we receive the SSI and Social Security and food stamps and all that kind. All that stuff is going to be cut down, and then once it gets cut down, it's going to be cut out.
So
we have to figure out how to survive and how to feed ourselves, and it's best to start now than later. So also, Brother Donia, you have any lasting comments you want to make to our people? Hello, we can't hear you.
I just want to let everybody know that I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. It's nation building time.
I want to ask you a quick question so everybody know what it is. What time is it?
It's nation building time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to say thank you to everyone, and we ask everyone to continue to support what we're doing, and we thank you for, don't forget the show on Tuesday at 6:30, Members of a Better World is coming on, Prince Asiel, Prince L. Ron, and whoever they have as a guest, support what they're doing as well, because we have a lot of information to send to you, and on that note, all of our board members that are on the phone, we're going to meet for 15 minutes at 6:30, so please come to the call, and we will talk then. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We love you. We hope everything is okay, and we are going to move on in love, and we're going to support one another. If you have a business that you're interested in us supporting, we ask you to give us a email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. We will get the information on so that everyone knows that this is your business and we will support your business, whatever it is. Just let us know what it is so that we can get the information out there. And we want to say thank you so much. Shalom, shalom, everybody. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The South's favorite mixtape supplier, DJ At Low, is in the building.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make bail. Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Try to keep from trouble. Living too fast. Trying to make good on a hustle. Sometimes it get rough.
Coming from where I'm from.
Times got hard.
Coming from where I'm from.
Times you gotta walk the work, yeah.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta do a little dirt. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Nightstyle looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much game. Down the ride out, even take the train. Even took her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Try to treat you like a lady. Try to be your friend. Turned out that you were shady. Sometimes I get lonely.
Coming from where I'm from.
Things ain't what they seem to be.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you get a little angry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you get the best of me.
At Low is in the building.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you got them on.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta cry a little bit louder.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta fight the pain, yeah.
All right, I think I sent a message to Prince Elron. If you are on the line, if you'd like to say something for Members of a Better World, please push 1. We're about to close out for the evening. If not, we say shalom, shalom to everybody. We had a beautiful time. We'd like to hear what everyone has to say. We have to hear about how we feel. So, there he is. Okay, let me get him on the line real quick. Prince Elron, are you there? Shalom, shalom. Your mic is open, and we cannot hear you. I think you might still be on mute, so we'll give you a chance to open up your mic. Are you there? Hello?
I am. Shalom, shalom. Oh. Peace and blessings to everyone, and I want to thank you for the lively show. that was had today, and I want to encourage the listeners to continue to confront and to work to solve all of the things that are confronting us. This is how God moves. This is how God works. He gives us the energy. He gives us the potential. He gives us ideas. We have to exchange them. We have to be willing to listen as well as speak. And then we, as Brother Adonai said, we have to be willing to do something after we do that. So for sure, unless we do it for ourselves, obviously no one else is going to do it for us. So don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on other people of goodwill, you know, too. And continue to support the radio program, support the effort, and understand it. Just as you said, what we're talking about is our survival. Okay, and we have to keep it in that critical area, keep it at critical mass. We're talking about our survival, but not just our survival, our advancement and our progress. Okay, so we're just not in survival mode. We have to be in progressive mode. We have to be in visionary mode, as was Israel's promise. So we thank you for keeping the topics of the day before the people and challenging others and ourselves to do and to fulfill God's will. We certainly appreciate that, and I know that with that kind of effort, God will bless us.
All right, all right. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Thank you so much. That's the last word you'll hear. We'll see you next Sunday. Don't forget Tuesday at 6:30, Members of a Better World, Prince Elron, who you've heard, and Prince Asiel will be on the line with a special guest. Don't miss it. It's a beautiful show. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.